in my heart. All right. I believe we're in Samuel. And I should be in search of my blue ribbon, and there it is. I think we left off still in chapter number 28. But we're going to back up a few verses just to get you back in the game. We're going to go about up to verse 16. Then said Samuel, or the apparition, the thing that the man that Saul was looking at. Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" In other words, God is not on your side. God's not. Why would you call on God's prophet to give you direction and answers when God himself has said, "Leave Saul alone. I have departed from Saul. I have rent the kingdom from him." In fact, he says, he had even sent a evil spirit to give him depression and to work on him and keep him down. He says, "Why in the world would you call on me, seeing that God has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" You know, if God's your enemy, you have no hope. Yeah, I like that verse that says, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" But if you really think about that, if God be against you, who can be for you? And that fits right there. "And the Lord hath done unto him, and he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hands, and have given it to thy neighbor, even unto David." And not only this, if this had really been Saul, or this had really been Samuel, Samuel would say, "And by the way, you remember all the priests you killed? By the way, remember when you didn't take care of Amalek and his bunch? Oh, by the way, what?" So he's sitting here, and there's nothing good that this Samuel tells to him to make him have any sort of excitement or uplift or anything like that. This thing that he brings up puts him in total depression. It gives him no good news whatsoever. God has departed from you. That's bad news off the bat. Besides that, God has rent the kingdom out of your hand. Besides that, he's given it to your neighbor. There ain't no good news coming out of this at all. Why in the world is you going to call up somebody who's going to tell you all the bad things that's happened to you? He is in total depression. The evil spirit's upon him. And the one he conjures up, the one he calls up, the one he thinks is Samuel, has told him nothing but the things he didn't want to hear. "Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce anger upon the Amalekites. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing to thee this day." And we understand that when we read this book, we read this chapter, that witchcraft, or going to a rich witch, is the sin of disobedience. In other words, God has said, if you want to know something, you come to me. If you want to have some understanding of truth and wisdom and knowledge, ask God. But instead, Saul has gone to a witch, which he had already put all the witches out of the neighborhood and all the town and all this. And this witch, when she first started out, says, "You know that it's not right for me to do this. Are you sure that you're not trying to trick me? You sure you're not trying to deceive me? You're sure that it's going to be all right for me to do this?" And he says, "I swear by the Lord that I won't hurt you if you do this thing." He says, "Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord." We need to take great heed to that also. When we read our Bibles and we read our scriptures and all that, we need to understand that God loves obedience more than sacrifice. He loves obedience more than any of this stuff we can bring up here and throw down in the treasure chest or whatever. These folks that want to say, "Look at all the money I send to the missionaries and all that like that." Well, if you're not obedient, all that is nothing. You know, that's just signs for other people to look at and see. God looks at your heart and he says, "Are you being obedient? Are you following after me with all your heart? Are you loving me with all you got? Are you loving me with your whole heart? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." He loves us to be obedient. And every time, and I hate to say it this way because I still slip, but every time I'm disobedient, that's like a kick at him. Saying, well, yeah, I know you're my Savior and I know you're my God and I know all this, but I just really want to do that myself. And of course he says, okie dokie, I'll show you what it's going to be like. He says, because thou obeyed not my voice, nor executedest my fierce wrath upon the Amalekites. In other words, you had a, remember in the last chapter, David was going out and killing the Amalekites and them Gezerites and those other folks, doing the thing that God said, you get these people out of here. Saul had been king for nearly 40 years now, and he had never once tried to take these people out. He let them just stay right there in the land because you wouldn't even take care of the Amalekites, because you wouldn't even do the thing God said to do. The Lord has done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Now we know in the day that this battle takes place where Saul dies and his sons, some of his sons die, that it says that every man ran to his own house in his own direction. Well, Philistines did get the advantage of them, but the Philistines didn't capture them and put them in slavery. They all ran back home and got away, or most of them did. But Saul did not get away, and his armor bearer did not get away, and at least two of his sons did not get away. But he says, moreover, the Lord will deliver Israel. In other words, the Israel is going to lose face in front of his enemy because of what you have done, Saul. Israel is going to be put to shame because of the way you did. If you had just obeyed God, Israel would have never been put to shame. Israel would have never been in trouble. But because you disobeyed, shall be turned to the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, now we know this battle took place a couple of days later, but tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Now we got to look at that. Does that mean that this thing that was conjured up, say tomorrow you're going to be in hell with me? Or if it was really Samuel, is he going to be in heaven with him? But we see that Saul was a wicked, wicked, wicked king. In fact, Saul never did repent. So it looks here that I'm thinking he might be saying tomorrow you're going to be dead, just as dead as I am. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in the same place I'm at, but you're going to be dead. You're no longer going to exist in this flesh. Or you may be, you know, yeah. Thou and thy sons shall be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. In other words, that army on that day is going to run and be scared to death and be humbled by the army of the Philistines. And we know that's exactly what takes place on the day that it takes place. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth, and there was no strengthening him. Now this man was depressed already. We know that he had fits of depression because that evil spirit would come on to him. So now here he is. He's conjured up what he thinks to be Samuel. He's told him nothing but the things he's done wrong, nothing to lift him up, nothing to encourage him, nothing to say, you just keep hanging in there, you'll be all right. And it says his strength just totally went away from him, and he fell down flat on his face in front of this conjured up individual. And straightway he fell all along on the earth and was sore afraid. There was nothing in him that gave him any encouragement to say, we're going to win this battle. I'm going to still be king. I'm going to still be in charge. I'm going to still be God's man. Everything he was told is, this is where it all going to end, Saul. This is where it's all going to come to a needle's point. God has let you go so far, and then this is going to be it. All of his strength went out from him. There was nothing in him he could muster back up. He was so afraid because the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him. There was no encouragement there. At least when we go see somebody that's sick or hurt or whatever, we try to pump them up. Oh, you're going to get better. You're going to get. We may know that they said, the doctor said, there ain't no hope. But we encourage them, you're going to get better. You're going to live to fight again. You're going to be strong again. Something's going to be good about you again. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. He conjures up Samuel. Samuel says, this is it for you, buddy. tomorrow, you, your sons, and Israel is going to be put to shame. You're going to die. He lost all energy to go. He was so afraid. In the words of Samuel, there was no strength left in him, for he had eaten no bread all day nor all night. Now we understand he left secretly out of his camp. They probably didn't stop at the restaurant, let everybody know who they were. So he went straight to the witch's house. They did whatever they were going to do. He hadn't eaten. There was no strength in him. But this here weakness he's got is not just from not eating all day. Now don't get me wrong, I know not eating all day makes me feel terrible. I need a little eating every now and then. In fact, I like to eat 3 times a week, whether I like it or not. Sometimes I eat 4 times, whether I like it or not. But the thing is, he hadn't eaten all day, so he's weak. And he's also physically weak. He's also spiritually weak. He's also mentally weak. And there's just no power left in him. The woman said, and the woman came unto Saul and said, that he was sore trouble, and saw that he was sore trouble. Now we're looking at this woman, and it looks like and appears like this woman was in another room. You know, if you're going to be a witch and do ventriloquism or some kind of trickery or whatever, you've got to be out of sight of whoever you're doing the trickery for or whatever. So she's probably in another room and she's doing all right. She's probably paying attention to what's going on between Saul and supposed Samuel here. But when he hits the floor, she gets her little, she's, man, something just happened. I need to go inside and check this out. He just fell on the floor or something just happened. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled. Here's a big old man, almost 7-8 foot tall, huge guy, laying flat on his face on the floor. She knows he's in trouble. And she says, he's in trouble. And said to him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice. Remember, we made an oath. I agreed to do what you said do. I listened to you. And then she says, unto thy voice, and I pray thee now, hearken unto the voice of thine handmaid. In other words, I listened to you. I did what you asked me to do. I can see you're in trouble. I can see you're hungry. I can see you're in need. Now, listen to what I got to say. Let me help you here. Let me get you some food. Let me get you some substance. He said, let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. In other words, she's ready to get him out of the house. I don't need you laying on the floor till a bunch of people come around and see what's happening here. Let me get you strength enough to get you out of the house. Let me get you some food in your belly so you can be on your way. So nobody has to know what we've been doing, what I done did, or talked about, or whatever. But he refused. Saul has always been hard-headed, obstinate. He refused and said, I will not eat. Some would think that maybe he'd prefer to starve to death than to go get stabbed with a spear. But I don't see him starving to death in 2 or 3 days here. But he says, I will not eat. Maybe I'd rather die of starvation than go out there and fight. I will not eat. He refused. I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him. Now that doesn't mean they grabbed him up and force-fed him. They compelled him. They begged him. They asked him to give in. Let this lady feed him some food. With the woman compelled him. And he hearkened unto their voice. He wouldn't eat because just the woman had said so, but when his men that came with him urged him and says, come on, Saul, we need to go ahead and get you some strength back in you. We need to get you back out to the battlefield. We need to get you back in front of the men. We need to get you back on your horse where you look like the king. Look, you got to straighten up. You got to tighten up. You just got to toughen it out. Come on, let's eat. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. Now, that would be where the couch or whatever they eat on. Back then, most of them, we know in Jesus' time, they reclined on couches. Some people think it was a little too early in the mannerism for people to recline on couches. But there's nothing saying that he couldn't actually sit on the edge of the bed. There might have been a room there with just a bed and a dresser and whatever in it. That he just sat on the bed and got ready to eat his dinner. Nothing to miss with that. He just sat there on what was comfortable right there beside him. In fact, if you just got up off the floor, you're probably going to sit on the first thing you come to. So he just sat there on the bed. He may not have been on a couch reclined to eat in leisure or luxury like most people would think. And the woman had a fat calf. Man, they ain't nothing like a fat calf now. Remember, Abraham killed a fatty calf. Some of them, and they had fed the angels out there. That fatty calf, that's the most delicate thing that somebody fixes for you. He's been being fed up and fattened up and ready. And the woman here had a fatted calf in the house. That means that she had it right there beside her, or right there in the corral, right beside the house. And it says, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread. Undoubtedly, she didn't have the biscuits, didn't have time to get yeast and get to rise. So he's having fat calf and leavened bread. And she made it quick. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they, you know good and well, they was wanting that food as much as he was, and they did eat. In other words, everybody in the house there ate some of that fatted calf and that unleavened bread. Nobody was hungry at that time. And they rose up and went away that night. They went away that night because they had to get back to the camp before anybody could see where they were at, before anybody could figure out what they were doing, and before they could even figure out that Saul had even left the camp. You know, you don't just let the king and one or two guys go out of the camp without watching over him. That generals and soldiers and all that was, oh no, king, you're not going out without protection. We're going with you. Well, if they'd have done that, they'd know exactly what he had just done. So they slipped back in and went back to the house at night. Now, while that's going on, back at the ranch, you knew that was coming, didn't you? Back at the ranch. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek. And the Israelites pitched by the foundation which is at Perez. So while all this is going on, while Saul's off talking to the witch, the Philistines are gathering up over here, getting ready. The Israelites are getting over here ready. Probably while Saul's traveling back into the camp, he wakes them all up and they're getting in position. This even could be a day later. And the Lord of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in the rearward with Achish. So we see here now David has been told by Achish a few chapters back, look, we're going to go fight, and I want you to go with me. And I want you to be the man that's right up there beside me. And I want you to be the man that rides around and protects me. So Achish and David and his men, and Achish's men are at the back of the Philistines. Then said the prince of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? Wait a minute. First of all, ain't that David? Achish, what are you thinking? Achish, we're fixed to go fight the Israelites. Achish, do you know not that this man belongs to them? Achish, these men that are with him belong to them? And you have them at the back, behind us? Achish, what are you thinking? Well, who are these? What are these Israelites here? And Achish said unto the prince of the Philistines, is not this David? Hey, look, this is David. This is the great warrior, the great fighter, the great army man, the great soldier. Is not this David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, which have been with me these days and these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me these days. In other words, David had Achish fooled. Achish had found no fault in David. He saw David going down to the south of Judah, wiping out people, killing his enemies, bringing back trophies and bringing back treasures. He said, this is the David that belongs to Saul, but I have found nothing wrong with him. He's a fine feller. He goes out and fights my battles for me. He wasn't paying much attention. No, David wasn't fighting no battles for him. He was going out killing God's enemies. And the prince of Philistines were wroth with him. They got mad with Achish. They said here, Achish, look, come on. You really think that David's been fighting? Now, they didn't know that what they'd been doing. They hadn't put it together. They'd have jumped on him right then and tried to kill him. But they hadn't put it together. But they did have enough sense to say, Achish, this guy killed Goliath. This guy has killed his thousands. We know one time he killed 200 just for their foreskins. This is not the guy we want behind us. He might cut somebody's head off or something back there. The princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place. Now, they're not talking about going back to Israel. He's talking about that he may go back to Ziklag. Get far enough away that he's not involved in the war or the army any way whatsoever. Make this guy go back to where he came from. Send him over there to Ziklag. He'll be all right over there. He won't be behind us. He won't be over there with Saul. We can fight this battle. We can whip him. And we ain't got to worry about David getting involved in this thing. Make this fellow return. In other words, they were pretty serious with him. You know, we got to get rid of David. David can't be with us. Make this fellow return, that he may go to his place, which thou hast appointed him. Now, he said, which thou hast appointed him. Achish had said, you can have Ziklag. That's where you take your men. That's where you take your stuff. That's where you stay. Now, we're going to see, if we pay attention to the next chapter, the providence of God has David heading back to Ziklag just in time to go save his people. Imagine that. If he stayed there and fought with Saul, that wouldn't have happened. Just a thought, you know. He says, at the place where thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, should it not be with the heads of these men? In other words, we get this battle started on, and he gets to looking at us killing the Israelites and doing things like that, and all of a sudden, he might say, those are my brothers. Those are my cousins. Those are my uncles and my family members and my fellow tribe members. And all of a sudden, David says, you know what? I need to repent of where I'm at. And all of a sudden, he starts cutting off all the heads of everybody from behind who are paying attention to the people in front. Because if you're doing a sword fight, you ain't looking backwards, you're looking forwards. So if you've got 600 men with good swords behind you, that's not where you want them. Especially if they could repent and go back to working for the other guys. You don't want a half army behind you with swords and stuff. He said, lest he repent, lest he change his mind and fall back in love with Saul and say, I'll fight Saul's enemies. I'll take care of Saul's battles. And all of a sudden, we got a man behind us cutting off everybody's head. Whoo! He says, we need to get this guy out of here. Send this man home. If he repents, he'll cause all these men to lose their head. Is not this David? Look, they're pointing at him and say, you said this was David. Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, but David his 10,000s? I mean, you're sitting here, you just said this is David. Now, David has killed more of us than anybody we know of. And you have him behind us in your army, and he's just a swell feller. Is not this David? And Achish called David and said unto him, surely the Lord liveth. Now we understand here that the Philistines didn't naturally serve Jehovah. But that doesn't mean that they didn't know anything about Jehovah. Doesn't mean that they didn't understand. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon, Dagon got whipped. So they understood that Jehovah had more power than Dagon did. So he says, surely, as the Lord liveth, and that would probably have been Jav, or a short term for Jehovah, thou hast been upright. Now he's looking at David, saying, you have always been upright with me. You've always been honest with me. You've always been true to me. You've always fought my battle for me. This Achish guy was totally deceived. But he says, sure as the Lord liveth. As sure as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in. With me in the host is good in my sight. In other words, I have found nothing wrong with you or any of your guys. Y'all have always went out and fought my battles. You've always went out and done the right thing. You've always went out and lifted people up and brought me back my treasures and stuff like that. He says, I have found nothing wrong with you since the day you came in unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. The other lords, meaning the other five Philistine lords, four Philistine lords, there's five of them total. Well, when they got together, they had their little vote, whatever. Achish was one vote. The other one said four votes. Achish being a king, but not the ruler over these other kings, he drew back. He says, you know what? I have to live with these guys forever. These are my family. These are my friends. These are the guys I deal with. If they don't want you coming, David, I got to listen to them. Now, David's probably sitting in the back of his mind saying, thank you. Man, Achish kind of got me sucked into this fight. I didn't know how I was going to get out of this with dignity and honor. But now Achish has fixed it where these other guys have said, get this man out of here. Get this man away from here. So I don't have to sit there and fight against Israel. That's a no-no. David could never fight against Israel. And he says, and then I don't have to be discourteous to Achish and sort of ignore the hospitality he's been giving me, even though he never was true with him. He says, thank you, God, for getting me out of this pickle I got myself into. I didn't know how I was going to get out of this war. I didn't know how I was going to get out of this fight. But these guys had a vote, and they voted, I got to go. And they didn't vote to kill me. They just voted, I got to go and go back to Ziklag. Thank you, Jesus. He says, man. He says, wherefore now return? Let me go back. For I have found no evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me and to this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favored thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace. In other words, there's no battle between me and you. There's no anger between me and you. I'm not against you, but they are. You go in peace. With me, we have peace. You don't necessarily have peace with them, but while you're able, get up early in the morning. Don't beat around the bush, hang around. But while you're able, in the morning, as soon as it's daylight, you get out in peace. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displeasest not the lords of the Philistines. Now, if David would have got up and fixed breakfast and hung around to dinner time, and his men would have played cards or whatever guys do up till about supper time, then Philistine lords would have said, all right, we're going to handle these old boys. But he got up early. He understood, here's your way out. Don't beat around the bush. Don't wait around till these guys get angry with you. Get up early, as soon as it's light where you can see, and get out of here. And David said unto Achish, now he's got to put up a good front here. He's got to act like he's really concerned about this thing. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? Why is everybody so mad at me? Why do they want to get rid of me? What is my sin? What is my crime? What have I done that these people would not want me to fight with them? He's putting up a good show, but he's hoping that that king says, look, David, I know you feel bad about this. I know you really want to hang around with me, but you got to go now. You got to get out of here. He says, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant? Now, it could be that they thought maybe David alone. They might not have minded the 600 men. They figured they weren't too bad. But David, for some reason, they just couldn't stand him. So he asked about, what have I done? What has thy servant done? Now, up at the first up there, it says, what are these Hebrews doing here? But now David's taking it kind of first. What have I done? Why are you so adamant about getting rid of me? And then in the next verse it says, all them Hebrew guys too. But he's sitting here putting on the show for Achan. He says, what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee this day, that I may not fight against the enemies of my Lord the King? What did I do that you wouldn't want me to fight for you and be with you and be a help to you and a comfort to you? Why can't I go with you? I mean, what's the problem? And he's really making it look good. And Achish answered and said unto David, I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, doesn't matter what I think about you, don't matter how I like you, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. In other words, before they go anywhere towards Israel, they're going to turn around their faces, they're going to be looking straight at David and his 600 men and say, you're either gone or you're dead. But they're not going any farther with us. They're not going to be behind us. So there's fixed to be another battle right here if you don't pack up and get out of town. He says, what did I do wrong? Nevertheless, notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to the battle. I don't care how much you like him. I don't care how good a friend he is of yours. That's David. And those are his men. Notwithstanding. Wherefore? I like wherefores, right? Now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants. Saul's servants. They still considered these men to belong to Saul. These men were Israelites. Saul was the king of them. Rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as it be ye up early in the morning and have light to depart. In other words, as soon as you can tell which way you're headed, get out of here. You and those 600 men that came with you. Don't hang around for breakfast. Don't hang around for dinner. As soon as the sun's getting up, you need to be saddling up your horses, getting your stuff together, and be getting on down the road. So David and his men rose up early and departed in the morning. Now David was real happy about that. I want you to understand that. He was giving an out. Even though he argued back and forth with Achish about why I couldn't be here and this, that, and the other, when Achish, two chapters back, says, you're going to come with me to the fight, that wasn't what he wanted to be called up into. But he had got into this thing because he had made friends with Achish for protection from Saul. And you got to be careful who you get caught up with and what you get caught up with. But David was given an out. David did not hesitate the next morning. David didn't say, okay, guys, we're going to just see what these Philistines got on their mind. We're going to hang back a while. David got up early. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning and returned into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So as soon as David and his men were gone, as soon as David and his men were heading out, the Philistines moved to Jezreel. They weren't going no farther till they took care of what David was going to do. We can't fight Saul and David. We got to make sure David's gone. Got to make sure David's back where he came from. And the providence of God, and we're going to get into it in the next chapter, but in the providence of God, if David had stayed for the battle, all of his family would have probably perished. Because we understand in the next chapter, Ziklag has been attacked. Ziklag is going to be under, and they're going to burn Ziklag to the ground, and they're going to take all the men and the women and the children that belong to these 600 men, and they're taking off. And we're not going to get into that because that's back at the ranch again. That's next week. Yeah, you better come back. This is like going to them serial movies when you were children. Back at the ranch, back at Ziglag. While David's traveling home, something else is taking place. And when you put these things together, you see, while Saul was with the witch, David's having this confrontation with Achish and the Philistine generals. And then when they get all settled, as soon as David's heading back to the ranch, while he's on his way to the ranch, the enemy attacks Ziglag and takes off all the people. So it's just one thing right after another. So come back next week.